Some call me the sage from South Central. Others call me the czar of common sense. But you can call me Larry Elder. And you're invited to join me tonight, starting at 7, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Dan and Amy. Chicago Tribune has been running this series, The Illinois Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of Democrats and phony, baloney, good government groups like the BGA suggest isn't actually happening.
Oh, really?
It's not happening.
Oh, because it doesn't fit their narrative.
When we lose another,
it makes it look bad.
When we lose another congressman, another congressional seat in the 2020 census, maybe two. We're tracking for two right now, which is a reflection on population. But just continue to say it's not happening. If you ignore it long enough, it goes away. That's the theory here. People like this explanation for Illinois being the worst governed state in American history. It's not as bad as you think. There's plenty of blame to go around, and we're working on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, some people do. Then there's a whole host of people who are smart enough to recognize the scam and able to leave. Many, again, are smart enough to recognize the scam and are not able to leave right now. But I'm sure they're plotting. 50% of the state wants to leave, according to polling by the Paul Simon Institute at SIU. And they cite as their number one reason the tax burden here at the state and local level. So this recent editorial series from the Tribune has moved from focusing on specific stories of residents who are no longer residents of Illinois to companies. Why are companies leaving Illinois for places like Indiana? They profile a company we're familiar with here. We've interviewed Vincent Flaska, certainly on Illinois Rising, our Sunday program. He and his family's company is Hoist Lift Truck. They're the poster child for the exodus, writes the Tribune. The company that his father grew into a successful niche manufacturer could no longer thrive in Illinois' costly business climate. They make high-capacity forklifts. They were in Bedford Park, were there for almost two decades, and were ready to move again. The new move, East Chicago, Indiana. The company's investment in East Chicago, Indiana. You think about the suburbs and near south suburban communities like or southwest suburban communities like Bedford Park, but think about the south suburbs.
Right.
Think about west central Cook County that could use an infusion of capital investment and job opportunities.
Well, I drove through Harvey on Sunday.
Do you think you're still in America?
Honestly, it scared me, and it scared Peyton and Eli.
Then we drove
through Homewood and Flossmoor. And like, that whole area is just
it's tragic. The Hoist Lift Truck investment in East Chicago, Indiana, $28 million. Every politician has his hand in a honeypot somewhere. The problem wasn't Bedford Park. The problem was the county and the state, said Vincent Flaska. Talked about the property tax system. We've talked about it at length. Talked about the workers' comp program, where companies here are paying a multiple of what companies pay in places like Indiana. The nation's, with respect to indemnity benefits, which cover lost wages, along with...
What about malpractice insurance? That's why I know two doctors who've headed over to Indiana.
Well, sure. That's
and they keep their Chicago patients, and the Chicago patients pay a lot less and get the same service.
That's another example of our jackpot justice system here, particularly in Cook County and the Metro East. But to that point, he said his company's, Vincent Flaska, his company premium spiked to around $3 million annually due to a handful of fraudulent workers' comp claims. Costs dropped to $1 million when the company switched to self-insurance. Moving to Indiana cut costs to $275,000. He cut by a factor of four, just about, to move across the border. You know, thinking about that, an annualized savings. It's a big number. A Hoist Lift Truck is planning to roll out new product lines and grow from 220 full-time employees. That was the Bedford Park headcount, to about 400 in East Chicago, Indiana by the end of the year. The company offered every employee a job at the new plant. Most took them, and some moved their families to Indiana in order to take them. What Illinois is pushing for are low-paying jobs, Flaska said. Jobs at gas stations, stores, places that produce sales tax. But the guy working two minimum wage jobs is not the same guy as a job with a manufacturing company that has benefits and gives people a life. Excellent point. That's precisely what's happening. That is precisely what's happening, and it will continue to. Dan in Nashville, Tennessee, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, guys. Happy to be on your show. Thanks for letting me on. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm in a Starbucks right now doing my work for my small business. I've got myself and maybe occasionally a few other people who do work for me. And I left in December, and I'd laugh at anybody who's left Illinois. I feel bad. I've got my family back there, some of my family, but they're all on their way out. Any reason to stay in Illinois, I honestly don't understand it.
Did you?
I feel bad for the people who are, some of them are stuck.
I feel bad.
Don't you miss us?
I feel bad for us, too. Yeah.
Dan?
Oh, I live listening to you guys on the web. I listen to you guys most every morning on the web. I like your show. I like what you talk about. Go Trump. But I the people who are stuck, who are left in Illinois, largely are stuck. And if they're in Illinois, they're not contributing. And God bless them. There's people who are stuck, and I feel bad for them, but they're not contributing. People who are contributing are people like myself and others. They're out of here.
Yeah, you're right.
Why stay in Illinois?
Did you move your business to Nashville, or did you start a new business, or was it a business that's not you know, brick and mortar?
It's computer, so it's a couple of S corps, and yes, I took mine from Illinois, moved it to Tennessee. So when it comes time to withhold for my taxes, guess what? I don't have to withhold Illinois anymore.
I don't have
to withhold for Tennessee, for that matter. And it was so bad, is at the point where I could actually afford, if I had to afford to have two residences, one in Illinois and one in Tennessee. I was just that big of a hurry to get out of Illinois.
Well, look, you don't.
I took a hit.
Yeah, you don't have to miss Chicago because all of Chicago is moving to Nashville. So
exactly.
You'll see a lot of familiar faces. Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. Switching gears and moving to national economic policy. We're pleased to be joined again by our friend Steve Moore, Wall Street Journal columnist and chief economist for CNN. Steve, $200 billion more of tariffs on the Chinese. Is that a good idea?
I knew you were going to beat me up on this, Dan. Well, I'm not so sure it is, but it might be. I mean, look, China, we've had this discussion. China is a bad actor. They have closed their markets to us. Trump says he wants reciprocal trade agreements. That means when we try to cut our tariffs and open our markets to other countries, that they do the same. And China clearly, unambiguously, has not done that. It's almost impossible for so many American businesses to do business in China. And by the way, it's not tariffs in China. It's just all sorts of other non-tariff trade restraints that make it so difficult for companies to do there. You have to almost give up the ownership of your company to the Chinese government if you want to do business there. So this is, look, Trump basically put all the chips in. I'll use the poker metaphor. I mean, he's all in on this. And China now is going to have to make some big decisions, whether they are willing to make some concessions to the United States and to Trump. And if they don't, I think you're going to see the higher prices at Walmart.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I understand that China needs to be punished, but it's the average consumer that's going to be punished because of this. Does President Trump know that? And for those of us who live paycheck to paycheck?
Look, I mean, look, the price of cell phones and the price of toys and the price of other kinds of computers and things will probably go up a bit as a result of these tariffs. So, it's a risky gamble that he's taking here. But the question I always ask, folks who are opposed to this is, what's the alternative? What do we do? Do we continue to just turn a blind eye to China's bad behavior, the thievery of our intellectual property, the fact that they don't, it's not free trade when the other country doesn't open up their markets. And China clearly hasn't done it. And they haven't done it for 30 years. They haven't done it under, Clinton did nothing about it. Bush did nothing about it. Obama did nothing about it.
Well, they did nothing about it. Well, they did nothing about it for a reason, right? I mean, what was their reasoning?
Well, their reason was that China, look, the story of China is that from the late 1970s through the beginning of this century, China moved aggressively towards free markets, and they even moved more towards political freedom. And we nurtured that by opening up our trade to them, and that probably made a lot of sense at the beginning of the process. Now they are a $15 trillion economy. They in the last 6 or 7 years, they've moved away from freedom. I mean, they have more state ownership. They're not privatizing. They're having the government take over a lot of their industries. They have central command and control. They're hugely building up their military. They're becoming a military threat in the Asian region. It's not the same country it was 15 years ago. And Dan and Amy, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I just think the status quo is not tenable. Something has to change. And Trump, by the way, did run on this. I mean, he told the American people, this is what I'm going to do if I get to be president. And that's one of the routes that he used to win the White House.
No, you're right. There's no surprise here. That's exactly what he said. And I was opposed to it rhetorically as a candidate. I'm opposed to it now as a policymaker. But here's the thing. I mean, first of all, China as aggrandizing the state at the expense of the private sector. Well, that's their problem. That's their internal contradiction. If they want to blow themselves up, then I'm in no rush to stop them. The whole theft of intellectual property is another matter. But I wonder what your friend Larry Kudlow, where he sits on this right now. What's your sense of how sanguine Larry is about this being a medium-term growth play as he was advertising?
You know, he and I don't always agree on everything. We agree on a lot. I mean, I think his view is that China is a problem. I think he generally agrees with me on that, and that we can't continue on the road we're on right now, or 10 years from now we'll really regret it. So I think, but look, does he like terrorists? No. I mean, Larry Kudlow is a free trade guy. He does a very good job, by the way, of defending the president on this, even though he doesn't always agree with the, you know, president's position. That's his job now. You know, he's the chief economist for the White House. He has to back up the president. So, look, I'm going to be optimistic, though. I think China, look, if these tariffs go forward and we impose $200 billion of tariffs on China, China's economy will go in recession. There's no question about it. China, Trump understands something that a lot of, you know, the Harvard economists and, the Yale economists and Paul Krugman don't understand, which is China can't grow without access to America's $15 trillion consumer market. I mean, it's the prize for them. And if they're denied that with tariffs, it'll hurt American consumers, but it'll crush the Chinese. And they, you know, we'll see if Beijing, if Beijing basically ups the ante and says, well, we're going to impose higher tariffs on you, then I think, Dan, you may see a trade war. You may see that.
Well, the problem is if we have a trade war, and the market tanks, then it's going to push my exit from Illinois back a year or two. Right. And I can't have that. I got to get out of here.
I just listening to your previous caller, and it's
sure.
A sad situation in Illinois. But anyway, I'm going to wish hope for the best here. You know, and this is also early stages of this. I'm going to call it a trade skirmish, not a trade war. We'll see how it turns out.
All right. He is Steve Moore, Wall Street Journal columnist and CNN's chief economist. Steve, thanks for joining us.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer on AM 560.